Now his parents, that's Jesus' parents, went to Jerusalem each year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it. But supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But when they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances, and when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us thus or so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. So far, the word of God. This is also the text for this morning. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, have you ever had a time when you were very badly misunderstood? That people treated you as somebody who was very different than yourself? Now, it could be that somebody doesn't know you all that well and they get it wrong. That's not that bad. But what if somebody who knows you really well, maybe brother, sister, mom, or dad, and they forget totally who you are? Would you make you feel bad? Or what if you were a prince, a very special position, and suddenly everybody treated you as if you were no prince at all? That would kind of be insulting, wouldn't it? And in a sense, that's what the story we just read about talked about. Jesus is more than just a prince. Even that as a 12-year-old, he was God Almighty, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He didn't look it, poor family, but he was that. And both his parents were told that. Before Jesus was born, an angel came to both of them, Mary and to Joseph. Came to Mary and said that your son will actually be the Son of God. An angel came to Joseph and said, "This child will be called Emmanuel, God with us." So they knew that this child was pretty special. And after Jesus was born, the shepherds came to Mary and Joseph and told them amazing things about this little baby. And then about 40 days later, at the temple, Simeon and Anna again told them amazing things about this little child. Just no ordinary child. This is a very special child connected to God Almighty. And about a year and a half or 2 years later, some wise men came from the east and again explained that this was a very special child. From all this, you think that Mary and Joseph, when they saw Jesus, they would have known, hey, he's connected very closely to God Almighty. Maybe they didn't know fully that he was actually God himself, but they must have known very closely connected to God. But when we read the account that we just read, it seems like the text emphasizes the fact they treated him as any other kid, any other child. And when we can think, boy, why would they do that? They were told so specifically about this child. But we can't be too hard on them, because would we have done any different? In our lives, do we always think, you know what? God Almighty came down and took on human flesh for me. Do you always think about that? Do you always think that the Creator of the universe came down for you and gave His life for you? Because when you're always thinking about that, then you would say, you know what? When struggles happen, I know God still loves me. He must have a reason for all this to happen in my life, because He's God and He loves me. See, we're not that much different than Mary and Joseph. We go through our busy days, the struggles, the difficulties, the good, the bad. They often tend to make us forget or not think about, and kind of in the back burner of our minds, who Jesus is and what He did for us. Thankfully, this story is just not about a couple of forgetful parents. It's also about Jesus' response to them. Therefore, I bring you God's word this morning as we see Jesus, and we see Him showing us that He came for the forgetful, for the undeserving. And we see that in the way He was left behind in the temple. And second, we see that when He was found in the temple, or how He was found in the temple. And third, how He went back to Nazareth with Mary and Joseph. Now first, we see how Jesus came down for the undeserving and how He was left in the temple. Now, we're not sure if this was Jesus' first visit to the temple in Jerusalem, because His parents went there every year. It seems like He would have went there before. But now He's 12. And in Jewish custom, when you're 12, a man or a young man, a boy of 12, when he reached that age, he was treated as one under the law. And that meant that now he was, you can say, responsible to doing what the law said. And one of the requirements of the law is that they had to fully participate at the Passover. He could now go into the temple courts in a way that he could not before. And he would be treated as, in a sense, a man. He could talk to the priests, the leaders there, because now he was treated as one under the law. So now this was a special time for Jesus to come into the temple at this Passover feast. And the Passover feast was it was an incredible feast for the Jews. They remembered how God freed them from Egypt, from slavery in Egypt, from bondage, and brought them through the desert and eventually brought them to the promised land of Israel. They remembered how God restored them or brought them into a nation. Not really restored, but began the nation. And that's why Passover, it was like our Easter and July 1st all put together. It was both a political thing, because through the Passover, they were celebrating them becoming a nation of God. And they were celebrating how God delivered them. So all in one big celebration. And Jesus' earthly parents, Mary and Joseph, they knew this. And they came to celebrate every year. The text says that it was their custom. And that word custom, it meant that it was a strong thing that was part of their life. They went every year. And this year, they went with Jesus. But they forgot, in a sense, they thought it was just like every other year going to the temple. They didn't see that they were actually coming to the temple with the great Redeemer. Moses was a person who led his people out of Israel, out of Egypt, into the promised land. But Jesus was a much greater Redeemer. He was going to free His people from sin, from bondage to sin. Joseph was told that when the angel said to him, he will save His people from their sins. I wonder if Joseph remembered that very much as he was going to the temple that day. Probably not. He was always concentrating on things of the past, about their own, you can say, traditions and worship. They were concentrating on that so much, they overlooked Jesus. We can do that sometimes. We can be so, you can say, wrapped up in our own stuff, in our own, you can say, coming here and our own worship, our own doing stuff, that we forget that we come here first of all for Jesus. Jesus is the one, is the reason why we're here. It's not our ability. We can be caught up in that in times. And they had also wrongly, Mary and Joseph wrongly saw how important this moment would have been for Jesus. He left his earth, his heavenly home, and he came down and lived on this earth. He knew he was God. It says that, I am to be in my Father's house. He says that as a 12-year-old. He knew he was the Son of God. And he left his heavenly home, and he came down to this earth, and he experienced hardships and disappointments. People tried to kill him, or even as a young age, as a 2-year-old, he had to flee to Egypt with his parents, or they took him, and then went to that small, backward city of Nazareth. And now he can come into the temple courts, talk to the priests, be in his Father's earthly home. It would have been a very, very important time for him, reflecting on who his Father was, being close to his Father in an intimate way, in that way, you could say, at the temple. Mary and Joseph completely didn't get it. They didn't understand that this must have been a very important thing for Jesus. That's why when they left, they didn't think, hey, maybe we should check in the temple. There's a good chance Jesus is going to stay in the temple because this is his Father's house. They didn't think like that at all. They just, after the 7 days, after festivities were over, they, like custom, they went back home, not thinking what this was for Jesus. But Jesus came for people like Mary and Joseph, people like us who can forget at times what Jesus did for us. When people like us who just go through the motions at times. You ever had that? You feel, you know what? Sometimes I feel like I'm just going through the motions. We can be like that at times. Sunday morning, hey, it's just a thing I do. It's my custom. It's my ritual. I hope that it's not just a custom. A custom is a good thing, but I hope it's for you. It's more than a custom. It's coming to hear from Jesus, coming to be reminded of who Jesus is and what he did for you. And this emphasized here, Jesus came for people like Mary and Joseph, people who forget. He came down, left his heavenly home and said, you know what? I know what these people are like. He knew what type of family he was going to come into. He knew who Mary and Joseph are. He knew what we are like. And still he was willing to come down and live with us and give his life for us so we could be brought into his family, the family of God. And it's interesting that when Mary and Joseph, at the end of that first day, they're walking and they realize, hey, Jesus is not with us. Where is he? And they say, they look around, they're getting more and more frantic. They're thinking, hey, where is he? Where is he? And they said, well, he must still be back in Jerusalem. He's not with any of us. I remember losing my son in a mall for 15, 20 minutes, and I was frantic. They're a day away from Jerusalem, and suddenly they realize he's not with them. And I wonder if flashbacks came to their mind about the fact, well, remember when we were in Bethlehem and the soldiers came? Where did they come from? They came from Jerusalem to kill our baby. I wonder if they had flashbacks about that, about, boy, we better get back there. And the text emphasizes they went back quickly. They went back quickly. Probably took a day to walk from Jerusalem to where they were, but a probably quite shorter time to walk back to Jerusalem. But they were going back to see Jesus. And this brings us to our second point. how they found Jesus in the temple. They didn't first of all go to the temple. It's kind of interesting. 3 days later, probably took a shorter time for them to get back, but 3 days after they noticed he was missing, they finally find him in the temple. Why didn't they go there first? Why didn't they think, boy, that must have been an important thing for Jesus to be at the temple? But they don't get it. In their rush, I wonder if Mary and Joseph thought, you know what? We lost the Son of God. I wonder if that entered their mind, that they did something bad. But the text emphasizes they didn't think like that, because they said to Jesus when they found him, why did you do this to us? They blamed him. They didn't blame themselves. They blamed Jesus. They thought, Jesus, why did you do this to us? We've been looking for you frantically. Why did you take off from us? They never in their minds were thinking, boy, this is the place he should have been. We should have looked here. We even should have thought about the fact, hey, he wanted to be here. Look at him soaking in what the priests are telling him, asking these questions. And with the astonishment isn't just that he was gone for 3 days. They see him there sitting calmly, talking to the priests, asking questions, giving answers, as if nothing happened. They're astonished that how can he just be so kind of easy with this, being away from his parents for 3 days? Now, we have to, when this whole thing about Jesus talking to the priest, we can't think of that Jesus is standing up and kind of teaching the priests. He was learning stuff. At the end of this passage, it says he increased in wisdom. He learned stuff and how to. Now, he was God Almighty, but he was still a human being like us. And as a human being, you can say he was willing to learn stuff, even though he was God Almighty. We can't fully understand that. In a sense, he emptied himself. He was still God Almighty. But he emptied himself so that as a 12-year-old boy, he was learning stuff. But he learned it really well. No sin. As any 12-year-old boy, easily distracted by all kinds of stuff. They think, hey, maybe this is more important. But Jesus had no sin in him. He wasn't distracted by other things, especially when he's talking about his Father. Especially talking about what the Bible teaches. Especially when they're talking about who he is. Because the Old Testament talks about who he was and what he was going to do. He soaked it in. And they were amazed how well he could answer questions and deal with the subject matter about God and what this world is like, where sin came from, how we can be restored to God. They were amazed. But his parents come to him and said, Why did you do this to us? This is part of the suffering that Jesus went through during his life on earth. He suffered people not understanding, his own parents not getting it, that he had to be in his Father's house. And he was willing to suffer for that. He was willing to come down and suffer that way, to be misunderstood, to be mistreated even, to be treated as the bad one, even when he wasn't the bad one. It's in short, Jesus says to him, why were you looking all over the place for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? Didn't you know that this is where I should be? Mary says to Jesus, your Father and I were looking for you. The text emphasizes Mary's misunderstanding. She knew for a fact that Joseph was not the Father, that God Almighty was the Father of Jesus. And yet she says, in the temple, in the house of God, your Father Joseph and I have been looking for you. That's why Jesus didn't, out of anger, say, hey, didn't you know? Out of sadness. Out of sadness, he was saying, Why were you looking all over the place for me? Don't you know who I am? Don't you remember what the angels told you? Don't you know who I am? Doesn't that happen to us sometimes? When we're running around and getting busy and all kinds of things, when we're confused and overwhelmed with life's problems, because they had a pretty big problem going. They lost their 12-year-old son. For 3 days, they were frantically looking for them. So they are going through some stress. And when we're overcome by stress, when we're overcome by sadness, by difficulties, by disappointments, too often we live in those disappointments in a sense. They surround us as if we don't see anything outside of them. They overwhelm us as almost so that we don't see Jesus anymore. And it's Jesus saying, hey, don't you know I had to be in my Father's house? Don't you know who I am? And he's saying that to us too. Do you know who Jesus is? So that when you have all the struggles of your life, when you're getting frustrated with others or yourself, do you look through it, through the eyes or through new lenses, the lenses of Jesus Christ? So you know, hey, I look at all this stuff knowing that Jesus came and lived and died for me. So you look through the struggles of your life, knowing the creator of the universe, he loves you. And he'll get you through it. He's with you. God Almighty. He came and lived and died for you. And he said to his disciples, you know what? I'll be with you till the end of the age. I'm with you. May I be those, you can say, lenses over your eyes. The eyes of faith. Just like if a person isn't seeing so good. I remember just recently a lady. She for a number of years, her eyes got worse and worse and worse. And she didn't really notice it. But things were a blur. And then somebody convinced her to go to the eye doctor and get some glasses. And she put these glasses on. She says, boy, this is what the world looks like. She had forgotten how wonderful things look. She forgot what people are supposed to look like because everything was kind of a blur. And that's something like putting Christ on, you could say. Remembering and believing who Jesus is and what he's done for you. Putting Christ on, not the eyes, not the lenses over our eyes in our head, putting them over the eyes of faith. So that whenever we're seeing, whenever we're dealing with struggles in our life, we look at those problems through Jesus Christ, knowing that he gave his life for us. And that's what Jesus was saying to Mary and Joseph. Why didn't you just remember who I am? You wouldn't have been stressed out. You'd have probably still been a little worried looking for me. But you would have known who I was. And you wouldn't have been as overcome. But it's even after Jesus says this, the text says, Mary and Joseph, they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. He said, well, why are you worrying? Don't you know I had to be in my Father's house? They did not get it. And the next sentence, it's amazing. And he went with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. They didn't get it. He told them plainly he didn't get it. And then he went with them. He didn't say, can't we just stay in Jerusalem? This is my Father's house. Can't we get a home here so I can go to the priests every day and just soak this stuff up? Can't we just stay here? He didn't do that. He also didn't say, you know what? I'm finished with this family. I told them plainly and they don't get it. I'm going back to heaven. He didn't do that either. He went back and was submissive to them. To his parents who didn't get it. Who were slow in getting it. Like us, slow in getting it. You ever had it when you said, yo, why didn't I just think clearly in that time when that temptation overcame me or when that stress overcame me? Why didn't I just think about Jesus? Why didn't I just do the right thing? Remember, Jesus came down for people like us. He went to them. He was submissive to them. He went with them to Nazareth. Why did he do that? He went to this family's home so that we could be brought into his home, God's family. So he was willing to go to this family that didn't understand him, the family of man, which includes us, all of us. He came to the family of man who has a hard time getting it, so that we could be brought into the family of God. That's why he went down to them, was submissive to them. One of the commandments are, honor your father and your mother. And Jesus, he was willing to do that, even though his parents didn't get it. They weren't perfect, just like each of your parents aren't perfect. And yet he was saying, I'm going to go there, I'm going to be submissive, I'm going to live the perfect 12-year-old life, just like he lived the perfect 11-year and 10 and 8 and so forth, and all up to 30, until he went to heaven, until he died. He lived the perfect life for you and for me. He went home to his parents to live the perfect life, submissive life to his parents, because we can't. He was willing to do that because he loves you, because he cares for you and knows you can't do it, because he wants to cover you with that righteousness. He wanted so badly for you to be brought into the family of God, he was willing to come into the family of man, a sinful family, and live perfectly. He desired that for you and for me. And you're called to believe that. That you're not much, you're similar to Mary and Joseph. Don't get it all the time. Confused, bewildered, overcome. But he wants you to believe and say, yes, he still came for me. And that should give you a great joy now to remember him more and more. It's because the one emphasis, the more you realize how messed up we are, the more Jesus' love for us becomes greater in our minds and our hearts. And I hope that each of you say, yes, boy, he's amazing, his love for me. And as you increase in your understanding how amazing his love for you is, the more you will remember him and live for him in the joy of salvation. This passage kind of ends with Mary treasuring these things in her heart. I hope that each of you here also treasures these things in your hearts. That you remember them so that when times come that you're confused, bewildered, or tempted by something, you say, but Jesus did this for me. Look what Jesus did for me. May you each treasure this in your hearts. Amen.